Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is a yield map for winter wheat from our experimental farm in northern Germany. And we have average yield of around 10 tons per hectare, so pretty high yield. But we also have a spatial variation in some areas as low as maybe 7 and up to 12 tons per hectare. So a reason for this is that we are in a young moraine landscape there. You see quite a lot of topography here from 17 meters above sea level up to 30 on a quite small scale. And also the soil properties are quite variable. And so this is the background for my work. We have very high grain yields associated with also a high fertilization level of more than 200 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. And this, of course, leads to an increased risk for nitrogen leaching. And there is a high spatial variability of soil properties, especially nutrient and water availability. So site-specific fertilization might increase the nitrogen use efficiency and therefore reduce impacts on the environment. So if I'm talking about water availability, I'm talking about drought stress, of course. And I just want to outline the effects. With low water availability, it leads to reduced transpiration and also to a high canopy temperature. And also this low water availability leads to reduced leaf expansion, therefore reduced radiation absorption, and finally a reduced yield. In crop modeling, we usually look at those long-term effects we see here, which can also be seen in our data. So our model concept for this looks like this. We have a crop course model, which calculates the green area index and dry matter production on the basis of weather input data, namely temperature, precipitation, and radiation. And from this, the yield is calculated. And of course, the crop growth is limited by soil water and nitrogen availability. I want to focus on the green area index and how to measure it site-specifically and how to model it in the first part. So the green area index can be estimated from the crop reflection spectrum. And here I show you some reflection spectra of wheat. And what is quite typical, you can see here in the visible light area, the reflection decreases with increasing chlorophyll. And in the infrared region, the reflection increases with increasing biomass. So from this, we identified the ratio of reflection at 740 nanometers versus the reflection at 800 nanometers as quite suitable for estimation of the green area index. And to measure this, we use the Yara field scan, which is mounted here on top of the tractor. And so by this method, we can calculate a map of the green area index on our field, where these light green areas have lower green area index and the dark green areas have a higher green area. And if we repeat this throughout the season, we get this time course of the green area index, where in this, the dots are average for the whole field, and the bars show the spatial variation as a standard deviation. So our crop growth model works quite similar to the Ceres wheat model. From radiation absorption via the light use efficiency, we calculate dry matter production, which then is partitioned into leaf, stem, roots. And with a specific leaf area and specific stem area, the model calculates the green area index. This model is parameterized for an average for the whole field. And then we get this time course. I show you here 2 years, which were in fact quite different in weather conditions. And we can see that it fits the data quite well, even if we have one parameterization for both years. Now coming back to this, as you see here from the bars, the differences within the field aren't very large, so it's quite difficult to estimate soil properties from these differences. And coming back to this scheme, this long-term effects, leaf expansion, reduced leaf expansion, and reduced yield are quite unspecific to drought stress. They also incorporate a lot of other factors, but the canopy temperature is really specific to drought stress. So I want to focus on this. In our model concept, from crop reflection, we could do this adjustment, but it's quite difficult to estimate soil parameters from this. But from the green area index, we can calculate the transpiration, and using the available soil water, we get a drought stress index like the CWSI, which we can measure by the crop temperature. And this crop water stress index, CWSI, was proposed by Jackson. And it essentially takes the difference between crop temperature and air temperature and ranges this difference into the upper and lower limit, the theoretical upper and lower limits of this difference. And these limits are calculated from the energy balance and at the canopy surface as in the Penman-Montes equation. A CWSI of 1 means no transpiration at all. The CWSI of 0 indicates a good water availability. And also the CWSI equals 1 minus the ratio of actual transpiration versus potential transpiration. To measure this site specifically, we have attached infrared thermometers on our tractor together with sensors for net radiation, air temperature, relative humidity, and wind speed. And from then we can measure and calculate a map of this CWSI, where this yellow color means drought stress and green good water availability. Now, to interpret this, we have coupled our crop growth model with the soil water model. And here I show you the calculated water contents for the same 2 years. And again, these are average for the field. And I also put in some measurement data we had from TDR measurements at some plots in our field. And we can see there is quite a huge variation in measured water content, which is due to the high variation in soils. But we can see that the overall trend of the model looks quite all right. Also, the model calculates the ratio of actual versus potential transpiration, which is up here. And I put in the data from 2 measurements of the CWSI, where we can see that these measurements indicate a quite higher drought stress than the model does. And one reason for this is that the model runs on a daily time step, and of course we have this daily time course of temperature, radiation, and therefore also saturation deficit. And our measurements took place in the early afternoon, so at the time of a very high radiation. And of course also the transpiration potential and actual transpiration has this time daily time course, and therefore also the ratio. And here again I put in the measurement of the CWSI, and the bar in this case indicates the whole range of observed CWSI values in the field. And this dotted line up here is the value we get from the model calculation on the daily time step. So there is quite a difference there. And now this, again, this is a parameterization for the whole field for an average. And to get to site-specific estimations, I readjust the water contents to match these CWSI measurements site-specifically. Using just a scaling factor. I do this by a parameter estimation technique and site-specifically for each grid cell. And here I show you how this scaling factor acts on the ratio of actual versus potential transpiration. I have scaling factors from 0.85 to 1.15 and get this range which covers the whole range of observed CWSI values. And from this again I can get back to the map and show you the areas, the light blue areas are those where the CWSI measurements indicate less water than on average in the field, and the dark blue areas have more water. Now to estimate soil properties from this, I use these estimated site-specific water contents as data for a site-specific parameterization of the soil water model. And well, at that point, I just used a table of calculated water contents for different values of the van Genuchten parameter theta s. And but we are currently working on an implementation of a real estimation technique which would allow us to do this estimation for many grid cells at the same time. So by this we can achieve a map of, for example, the soil water holding capacity, as I show you here, which then can be an input to our model again. So I want to summarize my approach from starting from a model calculation for the field average and taking the site-specific CWSI data. I estimate site-specific soil water content and use this for the parameterization of site-specific soil properties for each grid cell. Of course, the estimation would be better if I can incorporate data for several dates, several measurements, and possibly even from different years. But to do this, I need a real estimation technique, which I said before we are currently working on. So finally, what is the aim of this? With measured crop temperature, we get a site-specific parameter estimation of the soil water model and therefore can calculate site-specific crop growth and a site-specific yield potential, which might be reduced by drought stress. And from this, we could get to a site-specific fertilization recommendation. Thank you for your attention.
We have plenty of time for questions, Earl. Do we have questions? Oh, surely.
We've no question, but I think it's one of the best papers I've seen in a long time.
Thank you very much.
I'll raise a question. I didn't understand how you got the 0.85 to 1.15 parameterization.
Well, I just did a parameter estimation using the water content as a parameter for this daily model on an hourly time step for the daily course. And from this, I get the ratio of actual versus potential transpiration, which and where the water content is an input to this model. And I have measured this CWSI, which can be converted into the ratio actual versus potential transpiration. And so I can use this to estimate water content at each site-specific cell within the field.
Is that clear? What does the spatial variability in the field do to you in this case? You have high spatial variability.
Yes. Yes, well, that is what I'm trying to do there. Essentially what I'm trying to do is by measuring the crop temperature of the plants, I estimate how much water is in the soil at this specific site for each site within the field. And this can be done by the approach I showed you.
Other questions?
Have you made any actual measurements to know if your calculated soil water holding capacity is approximating the data?
Yes, I showed you we have some measurements of soil water content in the time course at several plots within our field. But of course there is a high spatial variability in our fields, so we cannot do it at every place. But we have some spots in the field where we can do it, and it seems to work quite well there.
Other questions? We have plenty of time, folks. Okay. Let's get this one first. I'll come back to you, Ken.
Have you made an attempt to modify the model to run hourly basis? Because you mentioned you use the Serre suite. I'm not very familiar, but you said use radiation, use or light use efficiency. So at least that part, have you tried to run it in the hourly times?
Well, only I do it only for single days, not the whole model, but for single days, just to have the daily course of the energy balance of the evapotranspiration. So just to get these temperatures, which are changing quite a lot during the day, to get that right to the time of the measurement.
I like the strategy of going inside out on this crop water stress index to predict temperature. I'd like to use it the other way, but what I appreciate here is that you had to go from a daily approach to picking up what your sensor picked up instantaneously. Do you think that's a fixed algorithm that other people can use? To go from the hourly to instantaneous to the daily, say, crop water stress index?
Yeah, well, we had to change quite a bit in our model to do this. We had to change the whole calculation of actual transpiration there. We had to go to a resistance model for the plant there.
You're doing hourly instantaneous
yes.
To get to that.
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. We know that there are a lot of other things that can affect canopy temperature, and if you want to make this robust, how would you deal with temperature readings that were not done manually but maybe automatically due to bare soil, a drowning full canopy crop, disease or fertility effects?
Yes.
Really, not the spot, I know, but we try to get to something that's robust that could be used by others.
That's true. Well, one point is what we want to look at in the next couple of years is the effect of bare soil or soil coverage. But while we feel that in most cases we have quite a quite good canopy closure there quite early in our fields. So if you just look at that photo there,
you need to come work with us and help us.
There's
we have a few problems.
Well, yeah, it's well in where we do it,
yeah,
in
sure.
In Germany there that's not a problem. But we are going to look at this, how we can make use this temperature even if we have patches of bare soil there. But well, that's surely should be a problem, but we are going to look at it.
For a lot of us, we need other sensors to tell us when we're not looking at
the right
thing. Well, thank you, Ulf. Very, very nice talk.